Satsang with Maitreya, September 7, 2002.
Good morning. Welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's Satsang Room. This is Maitreya from the Mission of Maitreya. We will go through our teaching today again together, and we look at the great revelation that has come to humanity, and again God's Spirit has come to earth to reveal to man the ways of God. Indeed, man has lost the ways toward God, and they are hanging into their egos, and the whole world is going of destruction, and the ego of the humans are hanging into every little things that makes them alive and feel good for a very short period of time. And then sexualization has become the norm in the world, and that's why you can see and stuff talking about God and godly things, they talk about things that they are not completely godly, and act the way is not godly. So surely human is lost, and again we need to bring them back to the Spirit of God and let them know that what the ways of God is, and the ways of the Spirit is, the way of God is creation of the communities of light, based on a pure marriage, based on love and devotion to one another, and bringing God among them. Therefore, we can see all the signs there for humanity to realize that indeed they need God's word to come to them. There's still a lot of people waiting for somebody to come from the sky and do it for them, and that has never happened in the whole history of human. Then somebody come from the sky and bring them a revelation or make everything okay. Usually God prophesies for a long time and tells human when the new revelation and the word of God will come to man, and then the time is right and correct that revelation is revealed to humanity. That God already knows what will happen, when will happen, and what time is the best way to send his word through his mouthpiece to humanity and reveal to them the new ways or to reestablish the ways that they have forgotten. Human really has forgotten the ways of God for sure, but they are following the way of ego, which will lead to destruction for sure. Therefore, this revelation, this new way of looking at the universe and God's way is come to man in our revelation and book called the Holiest of the Holies, the Last Testament. The Holiest of the Holies, the acronym for it is THOTH, which we call it THOTH. That book is available to everyone in our website, that everybody can go and see the new revelation of God and either read them, download them, or whatever way you want. It is there free to every man and woman and child to go and see the revelation of God and realize that God has unified all the religions of the world. These religions, all of them have come from God. He has been in control from the very beginning of the creation. He is in control in the history. Actually, it is his story. And now he is showing us how to go back to him and how to fulfill the destiny of the creation, which is to return to Godhead and become one with him for reaching true consciousness. Therefore, God has given us the tools that we can reach every person and individual in every corner of the earth, and this computer and internet is the fulfillment of the prophecy that you don't have to go to the mountain, to the desert, to the anywhere, but you can sit right where you are in your computer and see and receive the revelation of God and see everything that the mission of Maitreya has to offer to you, and see how the religions of the world are unified, and God indeed is in charge. And this is the end of the point that God reveals in the Bible, that when the seventh angel comes and opens the seven seals and the book sealed with the seven seals. Everything else before it is fulfilled and finished. We are in that point of human history and God's plan. Therefore, we can look at everything happened before this revelation and say, where these teachings or revelation fall in our teachings, which called eternal divine path. And if we can see that, we can see each religion of the world have a place, and God has sent them for a specific reason and a specific message to humanity. And only when the seven seals are open and the book with the seven seal is revealed, then we can see where each of these teaching are. And when we put them all together, a path is revealed to humanity, which not only unifies all religions of the world, but also it shows the way back home. That path is called the eternal divine path. And that eternal divine path has five steps to follow and two steps to become. The first step in the eternal divine path is to awaken your spiritual forces. That is meditation, concentration, contemplation, reading, and understanding even deeper level. Who are you? Who you are? Where are you from? A lot of people think that this world and who they are is the truth. But in fact, that is an illusion. That is the illusion of the separation from God. When you recognize and realize and understand God and eventually recognize that God really exists and you do not, then you realize that indeed you have been in an illusion of thinking that you exist and God doesn't. And then when you recognize that, you realize that God exists, you do not. It's absolutely upside down. That is what they say, the world is upside down. You know, we think that we are the one who exists and we go all over the place with, where is God? Show me God. How can God exist? If you explain God to me, I believe. If you show me God, I believe. But in fact, God exists and you are the illusion. And in fact, the realized person, show yourself who you are. Do you exist? In reality, you do not exist. You are just a separated, elusive ego from the source which truly exists. So we can see, to recognize this, to realize this, you need a calm environment, a place that you can meditate. You have time to go deeper level within yourself, and eventually one day you say, yeah, I am not my body. I am not who I think I am, but God is really who is looking through this body, and He is the one that truly exists. I do not exist. If you recognize that, then you have a direct relationship with God, and you and God are one, and that is when real spiritual understanding will dawn on you, and you will not have a religion, but you will have a realization of God. And when you have a realization of God, then you are not a religious person, but you know the truth, that God really is the one that manifests through you. And you are in illusion of separation of being in a separated ego, and you think you exist, God does not. But in reality, God exists, you do not. Therefore, we can see that human is a deep illusion of separation from God, and the first step is to meditate and awaken your spiritual forces, and also, you know, reach a point that realize God, the real being behind your physical body. And then, of course, to reach this point, you need a calm and a good environment, an environment that is godly. This is calm, which gives you the opportunity to meditate as much as possible. Of course, we can see with this kind of lifestyle that we are living today, it's impossible. If you wake up in the morning and rush to work till 5 o'clock, come home, eat, watch television or do something, and then go to bed, when is the time to do it? And each couple have to do it because, you know, they have no choice but to keep up with Jones. And therefore, we can see that they will not have a time to do it. Therefore, this is the next step in our teaching come. But for the first step of awakening of the spiritual forces, it covers all the mystical path on earth. Every religion, every revelation, every people, each culture has those mystical part in them. The most prominent of these religions, of course, is Hinduism and Buddhism and Far East philosophy, but even Judaism and Christianity and Islam have that part. In the Judaism, it's called Kabbalah. In Christianity, there are saints that they have experienced God and they have direct relationship with Him, and they praise Him and understand Him and love Him and all that. In Islam, it is Sufism, which eventually some of them jump of joy and say, "Anallah," which means I am God. And of course, the Orthodox Muslims, they become petrified of what that Sufi says and even stone them and kill them, because how can you be God? You know, God is God, Muhammad is the prophet, and we are all, you know, our bodies and our ego and are separate from both of them. But in truth, you know, when that Sufi jumps of joy and say, me and God are one, then, you know, he is saying the truth. Because he, for the first time, he realizes he really is not there. That illusion or delusion is shattered, and he realizes God is only there and he is not. And therefore we can see, but the, of course, the Orthodox Muslim or the Jews or the Christian, those who have religions but don't have the direct relationship with God, they become petrified. How can you say that? And that is very, you know, they cannot understand that. So here, in this first step, we cover, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, saints in the Christianity, Sufis, and any other teaching that says, know thyself, to know God. Be still and know that I am God. And if we do that, then we become an instrument for God's will, and we can completely manifest His will on earth. And we are hoping many, many people in this time will reach this point, and they will become God's instrument, as we have meditation classes in the Talmud that teaches you how to know thyself, how to go in a deeper level and understand yourself, and we realize that God is the real existence and ego is an illusion. And therefore, to come to that point, to have time to meditate and reach a point that realize that God is really is one with you, of course you need a calmer environment, an environment that gives you enough time and opportunity to do meditate and awaken our spiritual forces and all that. That is the second step in the eternal divine path coming, which is called the communities of life. If you read the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament is about God is trying to find a people. Hebrews has His chosen people who will manifest His will accept Him as King, and will follow His laws. Whose laws do we follow? We follow the law of our governments. Okay? And of course, every government has a head, and that head, of course, have the ability to make laws or break laws. Even in the United States, even the president has the veto power, so he can say, no, this law is not going to make it, this law is going to make it, and all that. So we can see there is always a head there in the Bible and many scriptures called the king. And that is what God wants to be, the king of this world, so people will follow his laws and will accelerate their progress toward becoming one with God. And therefore, you can see the second step is the communities that accept God as the king or the leader or the source of laws, and then they follow those laws and accelerate their progress toward becoming pure consciousness or reaching back home. In these communities, of course, there is cooperation. There is people who live together and realize that they are here to progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. Therefore, it will be provided for them this level physically. They will be taken care of because they share. They don't need to work hard and go 8 to 5 just to make it, but they can share with each other. Even the base of this community is 12 people, and these 12 people, even 5 or 6, even 7 of them work. 3, 4 of them can create an environment. Even for that 7 people, when they come home, they have a place to meditate and have a calmer place to be. So the second step in the path is creation of the communities of light, or an environment that the people will have time to meditate and awaken their spiritual forces and recognize and realize God. And that is the teaching and the essence of the Old Testament. In the beginning, of course, God is the king, and the judges will refer to him and his laws. And later on, of course, Hebrews longed for a king, and Samuel goes to God and says, God, people have rejected me. And God said, no, but they did not reject you. They rejected me because they want earthly king instead of accepting the God as their king and following their law. But tell them that the king will pass laws and human laws, and their laws is based on their ego. And ego always limited and always bring destruction to the community and to humanity. But God gives in and says, okay, go ahead and tell them they choose your own king. Of course, what they do, they go with their senses and eyes, and they choose Saul, which is a tall, handsome man, and they say, we want him because he looks good. Instead of, you know, saying, okay, who is the most qualified? Therefore, they reject God and they create their own king, and Saul is exactly what God said he's going to do. He, you know, passes his own laws, his own way, his own ego, and create a lot of problems for the Hebrews. Okay, so this, and eventually, of course, God comes and says, okay, you had your chances to choose a good person to become your king. You didn't choose the right person. Therefore, I choose now a king for you. And he chooses King David, and of course, after that, all his children. So we can see in the beginning, God wanted to be king. Not that he desired to be a king, but he knows the best way for humanity to return home, to be peaceful, to have a good environment. Therefore, having God as the king and his laws as the laws is to bring peace and unity to humanity. And as well as man makes laws and they think they know what is the best way is, they're going to have wars, destruction, disunity, and everything that we see that is on earth and is happening now. Therefore, in the communist of life, everybody recognizes this truth. They accept God as the king or as the leader and his laws as the law. To create such a community, it's impossible everybody in the community says, what is in this for me? I want everything only for me, and I'm the most important thing, and selfish and self-centered. The only thing I think about is myself. You know, what is affects me is the most important thing. That's not going to be a community of light. It's going to be a community of separated egos that everybody, you know, pull the community to different direction. That is why in this next step, sacrifice is necessary in these communities to create such an environment that everybody has enough to live on. So there is enough for everybody, and therefore they can have physiological and safety needs and then they can work on their spiritual progress. And that message of the sacrifice, of course, have come from the Christ. Christ came and sacrificed himself all the way to the cross for his ideal, and he also preached the community. He told his disciples, love one another as I love you. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? That is the essence of the community again, love, sharing, and being able to create an environment that everybody feels loved and provided and accepted and eventually become one with each other, and everybody can have a great meditations and self-realization. So therefore, sacrifice is the next step. Without sacrifice, you cannot create a community. If every person in the community is selfish, then community will fall apart for sure. And therefore, you can see the next step is sacrifice, and that is the message of Christ to humanity. Now you sacrifice a lot, and nothing happens, and the community is not still realizing and recognizing this truth, and still people are selfish and self-centered, and they're not gonna, you know, create the people that you really like to see. You become discouraged and say, God, I'm doing all this thing, and I'm sacrificing and trying to do this thing, you know, but they still are not listening. You become discouraged. You become say, okay, well, I'm really doing too much, you know, I better give up. Or you become depressed, and you say, you know, you lose even your own faith, yourself maybe in the process, and say, you know, maybe I was wrong, maybe it's not going to work and all that. But if you realize that God is the doer and you are not the doer, you know, therefore you have not done anything. You know, God is doing it through you. You are absolutely of free, and you do the thing and leave this result to God, and you do your best, and if the result is great, say thanks God. If the result is not great, say thanks God. Now if the result is great, what happens? You know, you might say, oh, look at me. I'm doing all this great thing. Look at the people are becoming great. They are realizing God's law. They are creating communities of light. They are progressing. They are wonderful. And wow, look at me. I'm doing such a great job. And you get a big ego. And of course, the moment you get ego, what happens? You get separated from God. That is exactly what separates you from God, is your subconscious mind. Your ego is such a great person I am. And I'm doing all those things. And anything that you do not recognize that God is doing is your doing, and what you do, of course, is ego and create separation, and of course separation means the fall. Therefore, the next step in the eternal divine path is to surrender the resolve to God. That means that I do my best, I give satsang, I teach, I write, I answer emails, I try to create the communities of light, I invite people to come join me, and I help them and work with them, but the result is not mine. The result is God's. I am just here to do His will as much as I can, and the result I leave to God. And of course, still, because you think you are the doer and the result belongs to God, you might make mistakes because you are still having your ego separated from Him. So the greater than surrendering is submission. Submission is always considering, what does God do in this situation? What is God's will in these circumstances? And if you meditate on that and eventually realize what God wants, and you let God come through, then who is the doer? God is doer through you. That is called submission. Submission means that we always realize and recognize that God is the doer, and we are just an instrument in His hand, and He comes through. And because God is perfect, what are we going to do? We're going to do a perfect job. And therefore, we always know God is the doer, we are not the doer, and therefore, we are not attached to the result of action, because we didn't do anything. God did it through us. And therefore, in this step, surrendering and submission, of course, is the message of Islam. Islam is not consist of terrorists and and destruction and chop your head off and all that. The lesson of Islam is surrendering and submission to God. And that is actually the highest spiritual realization. The moment you know that what is the will of God and you let God do it through you. Who is the doer? Do you exist? You don't exist anymore. Who exists? God exists, and you and God are one. And that is the goal, isn't it? The goal is to realize God comes through you. You don't not exist, and God exists. And you can see you have reached your goal. You and God become one because God does it through you, and you do a perfect job every time because God is perfect. Therefore, you know, in the fourth step, you absolutely free yourself from the bondage of the result of your action, and that is actually completely resolving or dissolving karma. What is karma? Karma is the reaction to your action. If you're not doing anything, and God is doing it through you, and He does a perfect job, is there any karma created? No, you don't have any karma left anymore. You dance the dance of the universe, and you do your work according to God's will, and you don't create any karma, because when God does it through you, does God create karma? Karma is the action, the reaction of your action. God's action doesn't have any reaction because it's perfect. A perfect action doesn't have a reaction, therefore you do not create the karma at all. And you are free and you become completely flowing with God's Spirit. But of course, in this point still, you might direct your actions toward a very small portion of the universe, and you say, well, I just help my family, my community, my nation, my whatever. Still, it is small, it is limited, it will create again the separation between me and them, and therefore it will create the disunity and egotism, and you will fall from being one with God, because God is everything. How can you say, I am submitted to God, but I'm going to separate this part of the universe from this part of the universe? You can't. It's impossible. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you cannot do that. Simply you can't, because God is everything. If God is everything, the first and the next step in your progress will become a universalist. A universalist is the person who realizes the universe is his home, God is the father and mother, and he is free to look at everything as a part of God. He will not look at a person as their color, their gender, their nationality, their education, their background, but essence of God in them, and we love that essence in them. And if that person is doing something that is not godly, they would not hate the person, but they might not like what they do, you know, and try to correct them and bring them to God as the goal of their lives. Therefore, you will create a great compassion for every individual, every essence, every part of the universe, and you know that there is no separation between anything. That is, of course, the message of Bab and Baha'u'llah that came in now we know mostly as a Baha'i teaching, but they were people that they were known as Babis, which followed Bab, and some people who followed the person of Bab accept as the next person as Azal, so Azal is also called Azalis, and eventually, of course, Baha'is. So we can see that this religion is known mostly in the West as Baha'is and Baha'u'llah's teaching, as the essence of his teaching is that all religion basically is the same. Okay, they have the same message. They say, be good, you know, follow God's laws, you know, live a virtuous life and all that. Okay? And actually, a lot of people compare our teaching with Baha'u'llah teaching and say, are you a Baha'i person? Are you Baha'i and you guys saying the same thing? You say, no, we don't. You know, nobody ever opened the seven seal. Nobody explained the religions like the way we do. nobody realized the eternal divine path, and Baha'u'llah just said essentially our religion is the same, therefore we are not the same as the Baha'i teaching. We are very, very different. Actually, we say here each major religions of the world have a specific message, and also Baha'u'llah did not include mystical path, and they have a hard time to explain what where the mystical path falls in Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i teaching. But we do include mystical path in our teaching, so it is not a Baha'i teaching at all, but it includes Baha'i teaching, which is the message is universalism. You cannot, as Baha'u'llah said, you cannot separate any part of the universe from the other part, because if you do that, then you don't have the Spirit of God in you. And he's correct. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you cannot separate any part of the universe from any part. You might not like what some actions are done, but the essence behind that action is still is God. This five steps, you really recognize. If you really meditate, if you really recognize and realize your deepest essence, and know that you and God are one, and God is truly who you think you are, then you have a kind of spiritual forces. Then you have no choice to want to create the environment that other people also recognize this and awaken their spiritual forces, which is the communist of life. And if you sacrifice in it and surrender and submit to God truly and become a universalist, you become an elect. That's what God is talking about in every scriptures. My elect will inherit the earth. And that is what we are here for, to inherit the earth. We are calling the elect to come, join us. So it's a very serious mission. It is the highest spiritual realization and revelation of God. It is the end of all revelation. It has revealed all the truth that human can know and should know. It even includes the mystical path, which no other Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i teaching included. Therefore, it has revealed all the truth that you should know and can know. It calls on elect to come and join and create the facilitated in body, so we can create the communities of life and the hierarchy which emerge from the discommunities. And eventually, when humanity go through all the destruction they are going through, eventually they realize and recognize that we have a viable replacement for a worldly, ego-driven world. And then God will be brought to humanity through the comings of light and our ways, and all humans realize that their salvation is God and eternal divine path and the comings of light. And therefore, if you are in lack, if you recognize and realize what you are saying here is the truth, and if you have the slightest spirit in you that is godly, will realize my voice and my words, and you say, yes, I want to be one with this. And you don't argue, you don't bring your own ideas into the mission and say, well, I know also better than you or God. But you say, okay, I will read though, I will understand though, I will go deeply inside. And if I have questions about though, I will send you an email and say, what do you mean in this part of though? Not what I think it means, and you should follow what I say. But we can recognize and discuss this thing together and eventually realize that, yes, indeed, this is the last revelation of God. Then the point of the seven seals is open, and anything happens from here and now, it's going to be after the revelation, chapter 5, that the book sealed with the seven seals is open. And therefore, we are really going toward the destruction of the devil or ego or whatever you want to call it, and it has very little time left for it. That is why it is desperate. You can see that egotism and selfishness and self-centeredness even getting in a greater degree to humanity, and those who do not have the Spirit of God will destroy themselves by following their own ego. Therefore, then if you follow these five steps, you become a lake, which is the sixth seal, which what we call in para, vipra, para means beyond, vipra means intellect. They are beyond intellect, they are in the spirit. They do not intellectualize our teaching, but they let their spirit soak these teachings within themselves and realize that God indeed exists, and He has sent all these revelations. Now He has put all of them together as a path, and they realize that they have to follow the path if they want to return home. And this is the time that if you do not want to return home, you will not be returning. You will not be incarnated back to earth. Because now is the time for the elect to be coming back, and after the elect created the kingdom of heaven on earth, that kingdom will last for 1,000 years, for a long time. And after that, of course, again, there will be a small short period of time that it might fail. And after that, of course, the elects will win the battle, and they will reach pure consciousness. Of course, the reason for creating the Paravipras is to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And then if that comes, many reach pure consciousness, or the seventh step in the eternally bound path, which is the goal of our teaching and this revelation. And when you reach pure consciousness, of course, you and God are one, and you know how to create the kingdom of heaven. And when there is another creation in the future, we will have more workers to come and accelerate the process to bring all the lost unit consciousness back to Godhead. Therefore, you can see it is a perfect teaching. It makes sense. It unifies. It gives the way to salvation. It gives the way to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. It is perfect, and as God is. Therefore, if you have this modest spirit of God, you will see this very clearly and will come and join us, and you will say, yes, I want to do this, and I am one with this. Of course, if you are not, that's fine. No. We are just looking for elects. That's what we are looking. If you are not a part of this mission, or you don't recognize the truth in it, that's fine. We leave you to God, and you leave us to God, and see at the end who is the truthful one. Now you have heard the eternal divine path, and that is the goal of this mission, is to give the eternal divine path to every human on earth, the man, woman, and children, at least once. When we give them to them, we are done with them. It's between them and God. We told them the eternal divine path and this revelation. They can go and find more about it in our website, come to our rooms, ask questions, and eventually find out exactly the depth of this revelation, and either become one of us, or decide not to be one of us, or just love the teaching and try, give it to other people as much as you can, but not to be completely close to the mission. It's really up to you what you want to do. But of course, we are looking for the people who really want to be close to the mission and come here and get on with the work and help to create the coming of light all over the world. Go ahead, little one.
Hello, Maitreya. In pondering and meditating on the greatest sign, I noticed that there is not a red dot in the fourth seal. Could you please speak about this?
Well, the reason is, in other seals, the energy comes from ego, from us. And when we get to this fourth seal, the energy and action come from God. So therefore, we are not the doer. We don't have to put the dot in that I Ching, because in that I Ching, in that state, we are not the doer anymore. What is that red dot in other I Ching means? That red dot is representative of the Rajaguna, which means action. And therefore, everybody in the middle, God is the doer, therefore there is a red dot in the middle, He is doing the action. In the bottom, there is a red dot because our spiritual forces has not awakened yet, therefore we are thinking we are the doer, and therefore we need energy and Rajaguna to work with. In the fourth seal, there is no ego left anymore. God is the doer, so the dot, the red dot in the center is enough, and that is the one that does the work, and therefore it is the doer. We don't need a dot in the very top, and that means you are the surrenderedness, submission to God. God does the action through you. If God does the action through you, you're not doing anything, therefore you don't really need a Rajaguna over there, because the Rajaguna comes from God. Go ahead, John.
Hello, Maitreya, and hello, everyone. When I was thinking a couple days back, I realized that there were thoughts going on in my head, whatever those were, and I was withdrawn from them like I was not the thought, but something else outside of the thought. I was thinking, I know, or I've done, or something like that. And I thought, is that withdrawal, that thing that was watching the thought and realizing that I wasn't the thought, was that consciousness? So I was observing there in my mind there, consciousness and the creative forces. That's my question.
Yeah, actually, that is what God is. God is witness entity to the universe. He is not engaged in it, but he witnesses and sees everything happening in the universe, and the thoughts, the actions and work, everything is done. He is not really engaged in them. In one state, in one another state, he is. There's many levels in God. In one level, of course, he is absolutely disengaged from the activities of the universe, and he is just absorbing everything happening in it. The thought comes and goes. So they say meditation or self-realization is like being at the top of a bridge, and you're looking at the river. River goes underneath you, but you are not in the river itself. The river is moving, but you are just an observer. Actually, as far as you are, you think you are the doer, and you engage yourself into the external world, and you think, you know, you are the person who's doing it. God is a business entity and enjoying what you do, and of course you get frustrated, you yell or become happy or you become sad or you become whatever mood or way you feel. God just absorbs it, you know, from that witness, you know, state. But then you say, okay, I had enough of this world. I don't want to be the doer anymore. I want to become one with God and let God do it through me. Then you become the observer. You just see things happen around you without being engaged in them. So you become completely free from the action, and action is done with God, and you will be in the fourth seal, and you don't need the dot in the arching anymore, because God is doing it through you, and he is the doer, and therefore you are free from karma, and everything you do will be perfect. But if you think that God is doing it through you, but what you do is not perfect, therefore that is an illusion that you think that is going through you, but he's not. Because if God is coming through you, it has to be perfect what you do. Because God is perfect, as Christ said, be perfect as my Father in heaven. What does that mean? It means first, the Father in heaven is perfect. Second, you can become perfect like my Father in heaven. Therefore, each person has the potential of becoming perfect as God. And some people say, no, we never can become perfect. We are human, and we are fallible, and we will make mistakes, you know, forever. But Christ didn't say that. Our prophet says you have to become perfect as God is. That's what that means. First, God is perfect, and second, you have the ability to do it, the ability to become perfect. Therefore, those people who say, no, you can't be perfect, you are a sinner, and you are the only salvation is just accept a couple of dogmas and you go to heaven, absolutely incorrect, because God and the prophets and the Messiah have told us that we can become perfect as God, and that actually expected of every human to become perfect as the Father in heaven, and that is when the actual submission comes from. If the Spirit of God coming through me, if I seek the God's will in every action I do, it becomes easier and easier to know what His will is. And especially with this revelation that you know the will is to follow the eternally one path, therefore you know His will, and if you know His will and you let Him come through, He will do perfect job every time in every situation, and therefore you become perfect as the Father, and He will come through and you become an observer. You will amaze yourself, you know. So wonderful thing is happening in my life or around me that I personally couldn't do it. It is not me, it is doing it. It is God's Spirit make it happen. Of course, once in a while you get ego and say, oh, look at this, me. You know, I am doing all this wonderful things around me. Then you will fall very hard. You know, but if you realize that, no, it is the Spirit of God which has come through, which has sent this revelation, which had this realization. This was the Spirit of God that preparing these people as the elect to this point. It is the Spirit of God that making them to see the revelation of God and accept this teaching as the most wonderful thing that ever happened to them in their life or will ever happen. You know for sure it is God's Spirit come through you, and therefore it is perfect. As it is, because as I said, this revelation is perfect. You know, we have tried to look at the things in many, many different ways, look at the many problems on earth between humans and where we are. We always came back to the communities of light, eternal divine path. That will solve this problem. That will solve that problem. That will solve every problem. Okay? Communities of light, based on the eternal divine path, will solve the problem of humanity, accelerate the progress of man, will bring a new evolutionary, you know, a step to human life, and they will progress many, many fold faster than they have been, and probably in 1,000 years, many, many will be in pure consciousness, and when the tribulation again comes next time, it's not going to last, because many people are going to be way, way ahead of that tribulation and destruction, and can create the, you know, environment that they will reach pure consciousness. So we can see that God's perfect, and we can become perfect as He is, and the only way to do it, to let His Spirit come through, get the ego out of the way. Okay, ego is destructive, ego is self-centered, ego is, you know, disunification, ego is separation, ego is the problem. That's the only thing God hates, ego. He doesn't hate anything else. He loves you, He loves your essence, He loves the essence of man, He loves the creation, He created this creation perfect as it is. But as far as we have ego, as we think we are the doer, as we are engaged doing it, we will create environment that is destructive, as we can see on earth is happening right now. And that is why, in this point, we believe there are many people who have been meditating and creating, you know, a spiritual realization in many lifetimes. Even your experiences, even your, you know, powers and abilities, you know, you have to surrender to God. Okay, you have to say, no, thank you, God. I don't want these experiences or this power. I want you, your spirit, and I want to become one with you and surrender and submissive to your will and become an instrument in your hand. So that the ability to see your thought and all those things are again a part of the meditation, but the real recognition and realization is that you no longer is, are there. No, it is God that exists alone. So in that state, that God for sure will come through you, you know, in a strongest way, and you will create compassion, love, understanding. You will, you know your duty. You know, what is the duty of life? The duty of your life is first to become perfect, as God is. spiritually progress to God. Okay. Second is to find a person to take you there. You know, if you don't know, if you can't do it by yourself, you need a teacher. Just like you become a doctor in chemistry, you say, you know, I'm going to become a doctor in chemistry by myself. Okay, it's going to take you a couple of thousand years before you find everything in chemistry by yourself. But you go to the school, you get the diploma, go to the university, and eventually a lot of teachers teach you chemistry, you go much faster. So this second step, your life is to find someone who takes you to God. And of course the third step is your parents who brought you to this world and give you life, and they are the co-creator with God. And of course they either have to take you to God or they have to take you to a person who takes you to God. But of course, if they don't do that, if they don't, they fail their duty, you have to bypass them and say, parents, I love you, but I have to go to God. That is the goal of my life, to become divine. No, the goal of my life is not to become a doctor or professor or, you know, whatever, you know, human intelligence to do. The goal of my life is to go to God, to become divine. How am I going to do that? To find somebody to take me there. Therefore, you know, but of course, always have to respect them. If there are good people and they are good, you know, spirit in them, love them, help them any way you can. You are responsible for the physiological and safety needs are provided for them. But if they are in a place that are okay, you don't have to worry about them. And you can go to God. Okay? And the third one, of course, is your spouse. If you're married, of course, you're not married, you escape one part of the hierarchy. The only thing is left, you know, your parents, your spiritual teacher, and God. But if, of course, if you're married, of course, you have the responsibility to help your spouse to progress physically, mentally, and spiritually, and go to God, or find him or her a teacher to take him to God, and all that. So there's four responsibility in our life: God, the spiritual teacher, parents, and our spouse. The rest are just a part of, you know, our progressive group that we're going to God. So with this, you eventually, of course, recognize the eternal divine path. You come and eat, you know, mission of Maitreya, and Maitreya tells you, you know, the goal of your life is to follow eternal divine path. This is the revelation to come from God and fulfill all the prophecies and unify all religion and say, okay, I found, you know, the place that I belong to. And you meditate and you recognize that God is the doer, and when the God is the doer, you become perfect. So this is the path of perfection again. And what you have seen is still you have to let God and you become one all the time. Then you won't make any mistakes at all, and you know exactly how God wants and what are his laws. Well, Brad.
Shalom, everybody. Thank you, Maitreya. I have a question concerning the opening of the first seal. In the introduction of the revelation of the revelation, they talk about, they often talk about the time period of 3,500 years having to do with the opening of the seven seals. And my question is that, do we consider the time frame from Noah, you know, approximately 12,000 years ago, the opening of the seventh seal with, or the first seal with Noah, or is that kind of that whole time period between Noah and Shiva and Krishna and Buddha, kind of the time period for that opening of the first seal? Because it, I'm not quite sure as far as the that time frame. You know, I mean, if you can answer that for me. Thank you.
Yes, there is two plan has been created in a parallel way. There is the plan for the mystical path, which started with the flood of Noah, and Noah brought the mystical understanding of the religions that know thyself, to meditate, awaken all true forces. And that started 12,000 years ago, and it continued eventually as the Upanishads and Hindu religion, and the mystical path in every other culture. But of course, basically Hinduism and the Far East philosophy and Buddhism, which really Buddhism is a reformation of the Hinduism, and and Buddha was just sick of so many gods and dogmas and the things that in Hinduism, he brought a more purer way of Hinduism to Hindus, and he tried to purify the religion. That's why he said, you know, people said, how about gods? And he said, don't worry about gods. Just meditate and know yourself, and if you know yourself, you will recognize that essence in you. And now they say, you know, Buddha said there is no God. He never said there is no God. He said, just don't worry about it. Because there were so many gods in Hinduism that he was just wanted to get his disciples away from them and focus them back to their essence of the Hinduism, which Upanishads, which talks about the Atman as self, is the same as Atman as God. So if you know yourself, you know God. So if you know Atman, you know Him. So the mystical path have taken another path, a different path than the Judo, Christian, Islamic, Baha'i religion, and they have had their own prophecies, their own way of understanding. They completely different than these four religions that came after, you know, after 2,500 years. So when we talk about the plan of God from 2,500 years ago to this point, we are talking about the plan for the Judeo-Christian, Islamic, Baha'i plan. And in that plan, of course, you know, God choose a revealer, choose a Messiah, choose a prophet who came to human and taught human about this different aspect of the eternal divine plan. But the first step or the first seal is the seal that really doesn't have any prophet or revealer. It's a kind of a body of teaching. This is the essence of all religions. If you do not understand the mystical path, you do not understand your religion in a deeper level. When Christ said, you know, when your eyes is single, you know, most Christians don't really recognize. If they have not any experience with the Hindu teaching of the third eye, they have no idea what he's talking about. But after they recognize what the third eye is in the mystical path and in the Hindu's teaching or Buddhist, then they realize the two eye become single, become one eye, which that is your third eye. So when your eyes is single, your body will be filled with light. And that's exactly the third eye will do, because the third eye will give you the ability to see the spiritual world instead of this external world only. So we can see, you know, but when you know the Hinduism, and especially from now that is revealed, then you see that sentence, it's easily understood. When your eyes become single, means two eyes become one eye, which is the third eye, then, of course, your spiritual forces are awakened in some degree, not completely, but at least you have an experience that, you know, most people don't. So there is two parallel plan of God. One is the mystical path, which basically Hinduism and Buddhism is the major religion based on the mystical path, and they have had their own prophecies, their own revelation, their own teachers, their own messiahs like Krishna and Buddha and Shiva and all that. And there is another plan, which is the plan for the Judo, Christian, Islamic, and Baha'i teaching, which came through the prophets,